Hey, we got a lot of music just walked into the studio.
Yes, very fun.
And they're going to be playing, and of course, who walked in was Eric Hahn and Mike Roth and Mike Dubevic. Karina Roth also being a part of this group, and Al Anderson on trombone, who's not here, and neither will Karina be. But we do have those three members, Eric, Mike, and the other Mike. Mike Dubevic, you're playing piano, and this is going to be A Century of Jazz, a program that you guys are producing on September 2nd?
Correct.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I mean, you've been playing for some time, but I don't recall you playing in a jazz group like this before.
Well, I have for the past few years, but not in town.
Okay.
It's been down in the other end of the county. Mm-hmm. Past two summers, I played a series of 8 concerts and then 10 at Caribou Highlands with a variety of rotating jazz musicians from the Duluth area, many of them my profs. In the past few years, I've finished a jazz studies program in Duluth.
And so, okay. So you went back to school?
I did.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting because, boy, you know, when you get, I mean, we're somewhat, no, you're a little younger than I am, but at any rate, it's hard to go back to school.
Well, you know, I was around all kinds of young people, and I thought, you know, they might have some problems with an old guy being around.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think they blinked.
Okay, well, that's a good thing. Yeah. Mike Roth, I didn't even know that you played the bass, and here you are hauling that thing into our studio.
Yeah, it's a good thing I found one.
Well, it would have been a little quieter concert.
Are you saying that's stolen, Mike? Is that what you're saying?
Wait a second, you're not supposed to.
Right.
Well, I knew Karina was a musician, and I haven't heard you playing before. It's going to be fun to hear it tonight.
Yeah, I'm coming out of retirement.
You had retired?
Well, it seems I had anyway.
Okay.
Since I haven't been playing.
Uh-huh.
So I haven't played jazz in 15 years.
Now, is something you studied when you were in college or younger? Or?
I did, yeah. I played in college. I went to U of M Morris and played in a really great jazz band there with some fun, talented people, and so I've been missing it, and it's great to have an opportunity to play some more.
Yeah. So were you a little nervous about hopping back in, or is it just comes right back?
Yeah, it comes right back.
Oh,
yeah.
That's cool. And you played the bass pretty much the whole time that you've been involved in music?
Yeah, that's right. I played bass since high school, so it's been a long time.
Well, it's something that's a little tougher to carry around, same with Mike on the piano. But Eric, yours is a little more mobile.
Yeah, I've got a soprano sax here, and the bigger one, tenor, we might get to.
And what's the difference between the two saxes?
Well, an octave, actually.
Okay, is that it?
Yeah, they both play very similarly, but they're an octave apart.
Size-wise, are they about the same? You know, that the shape of the one in your hand now is different than, you know, what I envisioned.
Yeah, the soprano is usually straight. You know, if you tried to straighten out the other horns, the alto or the tenor, it looked like some kind of crazy alp horn or something. So they put the curve in it to make it a reasonable instrument to play.
Okay.
And this is, I should say, this is not my normal voice.
Uh-huh.
I've got a little touch of pneumonia, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, but we're all good to go.
Boy, you're, you know, you'll go all out for music.
It's true.
Here you are anyway.
Truly.
Yeah, well, don't let anybody else use that saxophone for a while, because they're going to have it too.
Right.
Yeah, and Dr. Dubevic would probably second that.
That's true.
Yeah, thought,
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I'm playing under physician supervision here.
Okay. Well, Mike, what kind of music are you going to play on September 2nd? That's a Friday, also 7 p.m. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But, you know, it says a century of jazz, and there's so many different facets in jazz.
Yeah, jazz is pretty diverse, and it evolved like a lot of music forms. And what I'm trying to do with this program is show the average listener, and it doesn't even have to be a jazz listener, because there aren't many of them out there, but as it turns out, most people listen to popular music. But the average listener, I would like to show them something about how jazz started and evolved and why. The history behind it, the people behind it, and the people within the history as it was evolving. And it has a lot to do with our culture. It has a lot to do with the individuals who established themselves in the forefront, and it has a lot to do with commerce. You know, music is a business, and so a lot of what happened in jazz had to do with music as a business and what happened, for instance, you know, during the war, during World War II, you know. So jazz evolved over the last century, and I just came up with this idea a while back, and I decided, I was in New Zealand for a significant amount of time the past 2 years, and I decided when I was over there to develop this and try it in a couple of communities there. And they're very, you might say, you know, they don't know a lot about jazz, but they enjoy, you know, any music if done well. And so I tried it out, and, you know, it was well received by these small communities. And I thought, well, seems like it works. So when I got back here this May from New Zealand, I thought, well, I knew I'd been playing with Eric, and then I discovered Mike.
As soon as he found a bass to play.
Yeah, I tell you, bass players are hard to find, and so and Mike, you know, Mike knows that his phone will be ringing off the hook if it isn't already. And especially a bass player who can play jazz is not easy to find, and so Mike and I just collaborated on Patsy Cline, the musical. You know, Mike had such a valuable addition to that as we were rehearsing the band and so on. I started talking with him, and he said, "Yeah, you know, I played some jazz." And so I said, "Well, I got this idea. Are you interested?" You know, and he was. So here we are.
Yeah. So during this Century of Jazz program that you guys will be putting on, you'll be doing some conversation also about how it evolved as you're playing the music.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Great, a learning experience for everybody.
Yeah, and I'll gauge that depending on the interest of the group, and you know.
So if Bob and I show up, you won't say much? Is that how it works?
You'll keep it simple?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it may be a discussion. I mean, I'm open about this. People may have comments. People may have questions. And, you know, it's not meant to be pedantic, you know, or academic. Mm-hmm. But it is meant to be to give a nice overview and some background behind the music we're playing, and to show how all these subgenres of jazz, there's about 7 or 8 of them that we'll be playing, how they vary, and then why they vary.
Yeah. So if Anne shows up, then it will become, you know, a learning experience. Yeah.
Well, I like jazz, but I really don't know much about it. So, I mean, I'm looking at the list that you gave me of the different songs that you're going to sing in the different eras, and I'm not sure I even, you know, knew to call some of these eras this, so it's going to be fun to hear what you have. Do you have something picked out to start us off with?
Well,
here?
We do. I just thought I'd try a nice, nice little introductory tune. This is called Blue Bossa, and it does have a Latin influence and in a feel to it, although it isn't necessarily mainstream Latin music. And but it's called Blue Bossa, composed by Kenny Durham, and he was a musician who came up after bebop, which means sometime in the 50s, and established himself as a composer and then a band leader. And this is one of the tunes that he composed, and it probably was the one that he was best known for. So here it is, Blue Bossa. Thank you.
those nice guys.
Beautiful. I've heard that song. I just didn't know that's what it was called. Mm-hmm. Fun.
You know, Anne, I kept looking around here for a glass of wine.
I know. I know the FCC frowns on that kind of thing. But yes, that would have been great.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. So that was from the 50s, Mike?
Yeah, I think it was composed sometime in the 50s. It might have been late 40s. Do you know, Eric, anything about that?
More 50s.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like we shouldn't make Eric talk too much, eh?
It's not as bad as it sounds.
he's suffering.
So when you say a century of jazz, when did it actually start?
Right around 1900.
It did, okay.
Give or take.
And tell us a little bit about what's some representative jazz from that time that people might have heard of, or is it pretty obscure?
The early time?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, W.C. Handy, for instance, was probably one of the best-known composers at the time. Scott Joplin, who was doing ragtime.
Oh, okay.
Now, ragtime initially, it was called, ragtime. It isn't necessarily, you can talk around this a lot, it isn't necessarily jazz, but had a lot of influence on jazz. And the component, I think, that it brought to the music of the day that was then absorbed into jazz was syncopation. Mm. In other words, things that sound offbeat, or what the average listener would say is, oh, that sounds jazzy.
So I know we asked you to prep several songs. What was the earliest one you prepped for tonight?
I didn't prep any early songs.
Okay.
Actually, we would be playing those on Friday night. And they're listed there.
Okay.
W.C. Handy, I wanted to pay homage. Actually, the whole thing pays homage to, those who came before us, the greats, the people who have actually taught us by us listening to them and by them developing the form. So I'm going to play St. Louis Blues. It's one of the probably best known early jazz forms, and it the most popular or the version that really broke into popular music or commercial music was probably Louis Armstrong, in the 20s. But W.C. Handy wrote this out. This was one of the first printed blues.
Oh.
I think it was published in 1916. He had another blues called Memphis Blues. It was the first published jazz. A lot of people say this one was the first one, but this was the first one that really got to be well known.
Now, I know when I think of jazz, I often think of strictly instrumentals, but I know that you have Karina, who's a vocalist, with you. So how many of the songs have vocals?
I'll be singing too.
And, you will? Okay.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I sing. And roughly, a third of them have some vocal. Karina will be singing two different tunes. And, I've accompanied Karina before, and I always think, would Karina enjoy this, if I'm doing something, and, could she sing something because she's so talented? And so I said, a second thought after I developed the program and we started working is, maybe we should have Karina sing a couple of songs. And so she said yes. Of course, she usually does.
Okay. Well, can we ask you to play another one?
Sure. This is Joy Spring. And I'm going to let Eric talk about this one because Eric grew up. And I didn't know this until just recently. He grew up in the town that Clifford Brown grew up in.
That's right. This is my connection to Clifford Brown and not Wilmington, Delaware. It sounds really exotic around here. It's not terribly exotic, but it did produce Clifford Brown and myself. He was a trumpet great who died before his time. He was only 26. And was already one of the giants in just a few years. Recorded only maybe 4 years, and he was clean. He was upstanding. He was, not into drugs or drinking or any of that stuff. Showed up to his gigs early and died in a car accident. So that was a really, really tragic end. But he left a few tunes behind and really still influenced musicians even today. People like Wynton Marsalis.
We're actually going to be playing two of his songs in this, to pay homage to him. He's a trumpeter. And I think it was around, also when he died, wasn't it around the 50s?
Yeah, 56. He died in 56.
But when he was 20, 21, he was already known as a virtuoso jazz trumpeter. And he was, you know, touring with bands and so on. And then he, I think, formed his own band and was composing during the time. And so quite a few of his compositions have become jazz standards. So here it is, Joy Spring.
Sounded great, huh?
Yeah, and that's a perfectly named song.
I don't know how you can not like jazz, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I know some people don't, but I don't get it.
I don't get it either. I'm kind of curious. I want to talk to our bassist over there, Mike Roth. Have you got a favorite era? I know Mike talking about all the different eras that kind of got split up here in jazz music, but what do you like to play?
I like to play swing.
Okay.
I like to play bop, bebop, hard bop. So basically, take me from the late 30s to the 70s, and I'm happy.
What okay. is hard bop? I saw that on the list, and I never heard that term before.
If you want academics, you probably need to talk to Mike. It's been a long time since I took jazz in college. So,
well, the interesting thing about hard bop is that Mike could probably say something, and it probably would be correct. It's hard bop is hard to define.
We just played hard bop.
Yeah. Okay. That was hard bop, yeah.
Okay.
Hard bop is probably best explained as a reaction to bebop. And bebop was a kind of music that completely revolutionized jazz. It came in on the top of or towards the end of the swing era, was complex harmonically, and melodically, very fast melodies and runs. The saxophone was king, but Dizzy Gillespie was a bebop player, and actually the founders of bebop were basically Dizzy, Thelonious Monk on piano,
Charlie Parker
on sax, and I'm trying to think of the drummer, Kenny Clark. Yeah, Kenny Clark, who in a jazz club in Harlem called Minton's started, you know, they had been hearing this kind of stuff, developing their ears and so on and playing things and experimenting with things. And they just started playing a lot, jamming on music after hours, changing jazz music around, chasing jazz standards. And then some of them started composing, too. So it was a complicated and very fast music. And a lot of jazz musicians, didn't pick it up. It turned out to have a dedicated small following, but commercially that was when jazz left popular music. Mm-hmm. Swing music was popular music, and bebop came more of a cult listener's music, and you might say the jazz players' music, because okay. Everybody would say, wow.
Yeah, what I like about it is these guys were shredders. They were showing off.
Yeah.
And they were trying to play music that the regular old swing band that grandma was going to couldn't do. It was just too hard for them. And that's where a lot of this, the change in the music came, was these guys just saying, hey, I can do better than that, and bringing something new to it and playing it a lot faster than anybody else. And so
that was bebop. Mm-hmm. So hard bop is best explained as a reaction to that. It took other influences of gospel, rhythm and blues, and some of bebop too, and certainly jazz harmony. Jazz harmony is different. That means, kind of the chords and the sonority behind the music, it was still there, but it wasn't so important to play complex, really fast things and so on. It became more melodic, as you can hear. That's one of the reasons I chose this tune for as a hard bop tune, is that it's a beautiful tune. It's got a nice melody, and yet it has bebop influence in it, and beboppers can hear it.
Well, and that's one of the things I like about that kind of jazz, is it just it just seems really happy. Really great energy to it.
Mm-hmm. He wrote it for his wife too, just to make it even sweeter.
Nice.
Yeah, listening to Eric's voice tonight with pneumonia.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's in some smoke-filled room. I think it's going to work out for you if you're not playing the sax.
We don't have glasses to clink. We could make the whole atmosphere.
Persona.
Well, have you guys got one where Eric can pull out his other saxophone? Since he brought it.
Let's
another
see.
Clifford Brown tune. Sure.
Is that what you do with that?
Yeah.
Okay. This is Sandu. This is another Clifford Brown tune, and this is jazz blues. And for blues aficionados, it's not going to sound like a standard, rock blues or country blues. You're gonna hear some different things there, and that's, jazz had a very strong blues influence, but as the decades went by, these other types of jazz and the harmony and melodic things that were going on in jazz, at the time, the players would experiment with the blues form, mm-hmm. and infuse some of those, like a melting pot.
Now, will Mike Roth get a solo in this one?
Well, I keep on asking.
Man,
Mike,
his face is so sad.
Yeah, there's something about bass players that you need to know. I think that
they don't get that.
They don't generally like to do that. That's why we're playing bass.
Know that.
We can hide behind the piano and the drums. We're maybe the backbone, but we're not out front.
Maybe I'll just bike the bass only.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, so you do the head. Okay. Thank you.
Keyboard thing at the end.
Yeah, well, that's a little.
Is there a name for that?
That's a quote. Oh. Yeah,
that's a little Count Basie.
That's called the Count Basie ending.
Well, I would say it sounded like an album I have, Sinatra at the Sands, where it's the Count Basie Orchestra from the 60s.
Yeah,
totally same thing.
Or a mystery movie.
Mystery movie?
That's what I think when I hear that kind of.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Oh, thanks, you guys. That was super fun. Yeah. So you're playing next Friday, right, at Betsy Bowen's?
Yeah, up above Betsy Bowen's in what many of the locals will know as the Old Playhouse. Mm-hmm. Lots of ghosts there.
Yeah.
And lots of jazz.
But it's such a great venue for music.
It is.
It's such a nice size, and it's really fun.
It is. And so that's in town. That's up on, 3rd Street or something.
301 First Avenue West.
Oh, First Avenue. Okay.
There you go.
I have no idea where 1st Avenue, 3rd Street, 8th Street, you know, you got to say, well, it's across from, you know, where...
Uggabugga's house.
Yeah, Uggabugga. It's across from Uggabugga's. Yeah,
yeah.
There we go.
So it's at 7 o'clock. And
7 o'clock.
Do folks need to get tickets ahead of time? Or
no, they just show up. Just show up, and it's donation at the door.
Okay. And the three of you are going to be joined by Karina Roth and Al Anderson?
Al Anderson, who's an old, I met him in 1975 when I came to the county to play in a kind of a rock jazz band with him for a year. And he left the county and finished off his career as a band teacher in Wisconsin. And he and I have joined forces again starting last summer, gigging together up here a little bit.
Okay. Well, we sure appreciate you guys coming in and giving us a preview. Mm-hmm. It sounds really terrific. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, you guys.
Yeah.
Hope you get better there, Eric.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, hopefully by next Friday you'll feel way better.
Yeah.
Rouse up, take up singing.
Yeah. That was Mike DeBevick, Mike Roth, and Eric Hahn, and they're going to be doing A Century of Jazz next Friday night at 7 p.m.